You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
October the 14th, 2021, a ranking House Republican sending a letter to the Director of Homeland Security, Mayorkas, warning of an urgent terrorist threat to the U.S. He points out that the Taliban released thousands of prisoners from the Bagram Air Base in Afghanistan, including the ISIS-K suicide bomber that killed 13 U.S. service members. And he said, I fear many of them will be coming here. And you ask, well, how would they get here? Congressman McClintock, Republican, California, says, all they have to do is get anywhere south of our border and then come across with anyone else. And if they don't do it that way, then maybe they mix in with the Afghans we're bringing to the U.S. How many do we have? How many are we going to get? We don't know. Supposedly 50,000 at least, maybe more. Where they're going in the U.S., we're not really being told. Communities, so forth, they're not being told. And the New York Times reports at least 250,000 Afghans who worked with the U.S. are still in Afghanistan, far too many for us to rescue. They're facing death once they're exposed. But yes, these terrorists that were released from Bagram Airfield, they can get their way to Mexico or Central America, come on up with one of the caravans. They can come through that way if they don't come in by U.S. air flight, posing as an Afghan who should be treated with special care because they did help us. In the meantime, Congressman Rosendale, Republican, Montana, wants to strip President Biden's authority to resettle hundreds of thousands of refugees across our nation with no input from Congress or American communities. And that we should have a yearly refugee cap and give governors at least 30-day notice they're coming. They're not doing any of that right now, you know. The U.S. Marine who posted the videos on social media, Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Scheller, Jr., criticizing military leadership, saying, I demand that we have an accounting. He's pleading guilty to all six misdemeanor-level charges, including willfully disobeying superior officers, and also conduct unbecoming an officer and a gentleman. He was freed from the brig last week, still being held. 17 years in the Marines, decorated. Be facing court-martial. And talking about the ease of getting across our borders from the south, U.S. Customs and Border Patrol set to report just under 2 million, I did not stutter, 2 million migrant encounters nationwide for the fiscal year that just ended. Border Patrol agents say the number of migrants we've encountered over the previous year jumped 202%. Feel safer now, do you? Everyone coming from the southern border is not a threat to you and your family. Not as far as physical. I mean, many just want to come have a better place to live and get out of the hellhole they were under and in. But then also they're coming for jobs, and especially for the lower skilled workers. That's going to hurt them as well. And then there's also a report that Biden is considering, you know, that we will take these illegals coming in and companies that are having to fire people or will fire them under the vax mandate, which really doesn't exist. But the company's trying to take the lead, say, look what we're doing for you. That maybe those illegals should be hired to replace the workers who wouldn't get the vaccine. And Biden, of course, the other day out at L.A. trying to say, we're going to stop this bottleneck. We're going to open up our ports 24-7, get these ships in, get everything unloaded. A toy executive says Biden's decision is too little, too late, a political gimmick. In other words, Biden might be the Grinch that steals Christmas if you don't get your Christmas gifts or even anything to buy. Katie Couric, as I was pointing out in the previous hour, has a new book out, and she admits that she covered up for Ruth Bader Ginsburg, because when she asked her about what do you think about Colin Kaepernick and the others kneeling for the U.S. flag, Ginsburg said it's wrong. Now Katie admits she took it out.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone, and Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
USA. Larry Connors, USA.
I think it's only a matter of time before the fact that the emperor has no clothes is exposed, and Trump and Trumpism comes crashing in on itself. These kind of fanatical movements like Donald Trump's always end up cratering in on themselves. I feel that keenly. I am very confident history will rebuke Donald Trump and everyone who stood with him, but we're not there yet. We're not there yet. And we're going to have to work to make sure that we're moving the country forward. We never go back to that kind of a presidency.
And so says Congressman Adam Schiff, Democrat, California, on MSNBC, promoting his new book about the January 6th, quote, insurrection. And, of course, Schiff serves on the investigative committee for that January 6th investigation. And he's saying, you know, that we cannot have somebody like Trump again. In other words, while they won't admit it, they are still worried about Trump coming back into office, or at least doing something that would put somebody in office that would be more like him. And 2022 is coming on really fast. And you know who they pulled out to help in one of the vital states for them, in Virginia, to help Terry McAuliffe? Obama. Obama is going to campaign with Terry McAuliffe and Virginia Democrats ahead of the November election. Why wouldn't they invite President Biden? Well, that's a loaded question. I'm not even going to try to explain it. But when I hear Adam Schiff say, let me get his exact thing. I feel very keenly, I'm very confident history will rebuke Donald Trump and everyone who stood with him. May I suggest, I'm asking for permission, may I suggest that it read, I am very confident history will rebuke Joe Biden and everyone who stood with him. Well, that's not what he said, Larry. I know, but I asked your permission. You didn't give it? Well, I did it anyway. So be it. But Schiff, again, on MSNBC Deadline program, making it very clear that Trump is living, still renting space in his mind or whatever he has in his head. Here is, again, Congressman Schiff.
I do think, though, as time goes by, and it will become increasingly clear as we gain more perspective on the last 4 years, Americans will come to realize what a disastrous presidency Donald Trump's was, how many people needlessly lost their lives during the pandemic because of his narcissism and incompetence, but also how his daily dose of bile and poison in the American body politic turned American against American, and they will not want to go back to that. I think that's going to become increasingly clear over time, but we cannot use that as a reason to be complacent or take anything for granted.
And, of course, turning American against American had nothing to do with none of that happened during the Obama administration, did it? Nor did it happen when Hillary was campaigning and talking about the basic idiots, as she wanted to refer to anybody who might be supporting Trump. And, of course, now we have the January 6th panel moving forward to make a big deal out of it all has to be tied back to Trump. And what have they done? Well, they moved forward already with subpoenas against Steve Bannon, and he's dodging it. So they're looking at a committee rather coming up with criminal charges that he's dodging a subpoena. Bannon has been quoted as saying at one point, after the election, before the inauguration. This is a very delicate statement. I need to make sure I get this exactly right, and I don't see it, but it was words to the effect that on the day of the January 8th, we will be there to bury Biden or something of that nature. And they're going to say all of that has to do with proof that there was an insurrection. And again, I caution you, you need to know that they're just trying to distract you from the what we're really facing in the nation right now. Rampant inflation, worse than 13 years. Fuel prices are going to be double digit for heating throughout this next winter. A lot of food and supplies are not going to make it to the markets for you. Christmas, Grinch is in the Biden White House helping steal it because they're did not get things moving quicker to open up the supply chain line. But they want to focus on January 6th and Trump. Yes, still Trump. And Adam Schiff said again, I mean, we're just not going to forget what Trump did.
Time is not going to be kind to Donald Trump. It's not going to be kind to any of the enablers and sycophants in the Congress who upheld him during this period. And one of the things that I really can't understand about my colleagues is how do they believe they're going to explain this to their children and grandchildren one day when they're asked, what did you do when that awful man was running the country? Please tell me you did something to stand up to him. Tell me you didn't go along with him. I don't know how they're going to answer.
I don't know how they're going to answer. If you want the best coverage, and I'll tell you right here, the best and I'm sure unbiased coverage, but everything, of every detail of this January 6th inquiry as it's moving forward, you should be watching and reading the website for CNN and NNN. Oh, yeah, they're going to be on top of everything that they can make something out of. And that is where I did find this quote of Steve Bannon I said a moment ago. I just didn't want to quote it out of context in any way. 53 minutes ago, CNN writers filed this report after a word came that criminal charges might be filed against Bannon for holding Bannon in contempt because he won't comply with a subpoena. And 53 minutes ago, They filed a report saying a look back at Bannon's relationship with Trump before the January 6th riot and pointing out that he was one of Trump's strategists, urging him to focus on January 6th, the date of the official certification on the Electoral College vote by Congress. And apparently, according to the book Peril by Bob Woodward and Robert Costa, Bannon is quoted as saying, and keep in mind, January 6th was the date of the official certification. Bannon is quoted as saying, we're going to bury Biden on January 6th. I said 8th earlier. I just got my dates wrong in my head. I have no excuse. But if you want to stay on top of everything that they're trying to do, you got to be there. But I'll point you elsewhere, too, and this is worth noting. This is Charles Hurt, an opinion editor at the Washington Times. Headline, no GOP swampers, Donald Trump is not going away. He begins by saying, much to the shock and dismay of establishment Republicans in Washington, President Trump has no plans whatsoever of going quietly into that good night or retirement or surrender or whatever. He said, did you see his rally in Iowa this weekend or the one in Georgia before that? No. Your long national nightmare is nowhere near over. And he added, the fact that so many think that Trump might just walk away reminds us of just how fantastically out of touch from their own voters the Republican Party has been for decades. It's why Trump easily hijacked the Republican Party in the first place. Now, that brings me to a piece written in The Atlantic, an article titled, America is Not Ready for Trump's Second Term. And in this piece, the writer was pointing out there are Democrats and other Trump opponents who fear what's going to happen in 2022, especially 2024, that Trump will try to steal the election, that he will try to steal it. Well, the MSNBC anchor that had Congressman Schiff on with her read a following line from the Atlantic article. And again, the article had just said there's fear by many of them that Trump will try to steal the election. But then this is another part of the article.
These watchdogs risk missing the graver danger. Trump could win this fair and square.
Well, look, I think we underestimated Donald Trump once too often in 2016 with disastrous consequences for the country. I used to tell a joke during the 2016 election that there was no way he was going to become the Republican nominee because Republicans weren't that crazy and Democrats weren't that lucky. Turns out they were that crazy, and we weren't that lucky. So we won't make that mistake again.
Yeah, they won't make that mistake again. They didn't this last time around. And of course, COVID, all of it was a perfect storm for them. Everybody's too afraid to go out and vote, but they can go out and get what they want any other way, but too afraid to go out and vote, so we need mail-in ballots. Yes, I'm saying there probably was a lot of fraud in this last election. Was it enough to overturn or change it? I don't know. But Republicans are in the process across the nation, and Democrats should be part of this as well, of cleaning up voter rolls that still have dead people on it or people that are now no longer even living in that state. They moved on to another state where they're also voting, and yet somebody is still taking advantage of knowledge that they are registered in a particular state, so they end up voting twice. And in some cases, the people know that they still have registration in another state, so they themselves vote twice. Trump had said the other day, and some have said, is he trying to say that voters should stay home? He said, I'm not sure. You know, a lot of Republicans will be showing up to vote if we don't get these voter rolls and everything cleaned up, if we don't make sure these elections are going to be fair going forward. If that was your take on that, let me insist that you keep in mind, you vote. You make sure you vote. Don't stay away because you think, well, it's not going to make a difference anyway. The New York Times is reporting, while we have the Atlantic article saying that you can quit fearing if he's going to steal the election, you just need to know he might win it outright. And there you had Schiff, Congressman Schiff, saying Oh, yeah, I remember when I joked that Trump is not going to win. Yeah, I'm sure you do remember that. And we remember Hillary and everybody else. And every commentator was saying he has no chance to even get through the GOP list of other candidates. But he did. And he did win the election. And the New York Times says Trump may run in 2024. All the issues that got Trump elected in 2016, they've not gone away. In fact, they're probably bigger than ever. That's according to this piece written by Charles Hurt, opinion editor of the Washington Times. He said, once again, it proves Trump is still willing to talk about whatever it is nobody's supposed to talk about, which is why the guy got elected in the first place, garnered more votes than any Republican in history. Too bad they, the Democrats, are such narcissists, and the Republicans that were against him. Too bad they're such narcissists that they can't learn a simple lesson. Nope, they're not very good about learning. And in fact, James Carville, former Bill Clinton campaign advisor and political strategist for the Democrat Party, he's calling out Democrats. They've got this great opportunity right in front of them. They control the House and the Senate as I speak right now. And Carville says they need to be focused because right now it's almost Looney Tunes. Stand by.
USA.
Democrats in Congress are asked to do very popular things. All right, this is not going to take much courage to negotiate prescription drug prices. It doesn't take much courage to raise taxes on the wealthy. It doesn't take much courage to expand health care. It doesn't take much courage. Somebody's got to get in the room and say, okay, we wanted to do 10 things. We can do five. Let's do these five. And then take the other five and run them in 2022. But they've got to understand the reality is they're just running around like, you know, people in a locker room banging the helmets against the lockers. That's not going to do you any good.
Of course it's not. Hey, it ain't going to do you any good. You just run around banging your head on the lockers and your helmets. You ain't going to do any good. James Carville, New Orleans accent, Louisiana, Cajun accent. And I love it. James Carville is pretty much why Bill Clinton ever got elected to begin with, even in Arkansas, but certainly going to the White House. And he's been a Democrat strategist, obviously, during that time, and then later on also helping other candidates, so forth. But he's seeing that the Democrats have this opportunity in front of them, and they're going to blow it. They are running around like people in a locker room, as he said, banging their helmets against the lockers. Not going to do them any good. You got 20 things you want to do or 10 things you want to do, just say, let's just focus on five. Get those five done. In other words, as far as Carver is seeing at this point, that no one is really in control. That's right. No one. You want an example? The story just broke. Actually, I shouldn't say it just broke. I saw it earlier. I just hadn't had time to get to it. That Senator Kristen Sinema, of course, they don't expect her to vote necessarily with what the Democrats want. She is already indicating that she might be not as much of a Democrat as they thought she was when she was elected. She's off to Europe. She has gone to Europe, apparently to raise money from Americans living abroad. This is why, or rather, at the same time that Joe Biden's $3.5 trillion reconciliation package is sitting there waiting to be reworked, Nancy Pelosi just washed her hands of it and gave it back to Biden the other day and said, you got to take care of it. Kristen Sinema's, again, she's the senator, Democrat of Arizona, one of them, and saying that her office is saying, well, she's traveling, and they're not explaining much more than that, but many think that's what she's doing. But she's also leaving at a time that they need to have her support and her direction if they're going to get their package passed to any extent. So again, back to that great Cajun accent of James Carville and the problem with the Democrats right now.
So quit this idiotic protesting and hounding them and tell President Biden, get him in the room, get the speaker in there, get the majority leader. Let's hammer something out. And what we don't get, let's go for it in 2022. But this is idiotic strategy I'm seeing. These are all popular things.
Yes, all popular things, as he said. It's not that hard to get passing lower prescription costs. Now, who wants to fight against that other than the drug companies? And taxing the rich, if you're really talking about the really, really rich, you're also talking about many Democrats, and they will act like they're all in favor, but they're not. But he said they got all this opportunity, and they're blowing it. And they got these battles coming up, like in Virginia, Terry McAuliffe, battle state in Virginia. They're not bringing Biden out to help. They're calling in Obama. Let them flail away. In the next segment, I want to focus on a Federalist article focusing on what the University of Pittsburgh was doing, as some have described barbaric experiments with organs harvested from aborted children. The story's been out there, but there have been some new developments. And I care about this deeply, and I know many of you do, so we will spend time on it in the next segment.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
It's a fact that Ackerman Toyota is improving the local community. Jay Ackerman had a vision, and you can see the Ackerman Toyota dealership created a beautiful showplace at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota, sponsoring the next segment, new or pre-owned, Ackerman Toyota for life.
Short, my hair was long, caught somewhere between a boy and man. She was 17 and she was far from in between. It was summertime in northern Michigan.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Back in August, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin issued a vaccine mandate for the military members. And since that time, numerous members of the military requested a religious exemption to take the vaccine through the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. The Catholic Archbishop of the U.S. military said this week that Catholic military personnel could refuse the mandated coronavirus vaccine on religious grounds. Archbishop Broglio said no one should be forced to receive a COVID-19 vaccine if it would violate the sanctity of his or her conscience. And he pointed out that the U.S. Supreme Court itself had ruled when it comes to religious beliefs, even if an individual's decision seems erroneous or inconsistent to others, conscience does not lose its dignity. The court noting that, quote, religious beliefs need not be acceptable, logical, consistent, or comprehensible to others in order to merit First Amendment protection. And a lot of this has to do with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine in particular. The Catholic Archbishop of the U.S. military stated that That vaccine was developed, tested, produced with abortion-derived cell lines. That brings us to what had been happening and a story that came out earlier this year regarding the University of Pittsburgh, taxpayer funding, and grants from Dr. Fauci's National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. There's a piece written in The Federalist that appeared yesterday by Madeline Osborne. She is a managing editor of The Federalist. I was trying to book her for the program, but it just didn't work out. But I do credit her with this article. I always want to make sure you know the source I'm reading you, and there you can either look it up and challenge or say I didn't do it right. I always am open to that. That's why I give you every piece of information I can. I have an opinion, but I also try to give you facts and sources where you can go and check it yourself. So this is her article, and it is very pro-life. It begins, the headline across the top of it is, here's what we know about Pitts, that's referencing the University of Pittsburgh. Here's what we know about Pitts' sadistic experiments on unborn babies. It was 2 days ago, Tuesday, that they had a panel hosted in Pittsburgh by the Pennsylvania Family Council. And it featured several pro-life activists and former Pennsylvania elected officials. And they were discussing what the University of Pittsburgh was using, or how they were using, taxpayer funds, grants from Dr. Fauci's National Institute of Allergy to run, as what they described, barbaric experiments, splicing lab rats with organs harvested from aborted children. I know that one line might be turning a lot of you off. So I can't hear that. I can't listen. I understand. But if you don't know what's going on, you need to know. One of the panelists was the Center for Medical Progress founder, David Dalidian, who's done undercover videos previously featuring abortionists at Planned Parenthood of Western Pennsylvania and the abortion training director of the University of Pittsburgh. He explained that in order to get the NIH funding from Dr. Fauci's institute, the University of Pittsburgh essentially had to advertise that we are the best location for aborted fetal kidney harvesting programs. We're the best. That's something to brag about, isn't it? We're the best to get fetal kidney harvesting programs underway. The university described how aborted babies are still alive at the time their kidneys are cut out. And that was a selling point for the University of Pittsburgh as to why it should receive millions of taxpayer dollars. And again, I'm reading the article by Madeline Osborne. And she continued in reporting that when they were reading from the grant application at this meeting a couple of days ago, they were talking about tracking and recording the warm ischemia time. That means that to know when the fetuses lose circulation and lose blood supply. And they also specifically say labor induction, not just a forceps extraction abortion, but a labor induction abortion where they induce labor and the mother pushes out a baby at 24 weeks. The point being that those two statements show they know how to keep the time of blood loss in the kidneys to a minimum, that they perform induced labor abortions. And as the Center for Medical Progress founder stated, together they show clear, classic cases of partial birth abortion, or this is just straight up infanticide. And he explained how the fetal experimentation programs might have violated Pennsylvania state law and, of course, a federal partial birth abortion law. And they need to be investigated. The Pennsylvania Abortion Control Act includes a felony prohibition on infanticide, a ban on any consideration whatsoever for fetal tissue, a specific prohibition on, quote, any experimentations on a living fetus, whether inside or outside the womb. The federal statute against partial birth abortion, again, as I'm reading Madeline Osborne's piece in The Federalist, the federal statute against partial birth abortion applies to delivering the baby alive with the purpose of killing the baby after delivery through organ harvesting or through other means. They're maintaining blood flow to the kidneys, extracting the baby up to the level of the kidneys, then kill the baby. And the speaker said it is clear pattern for criminal violation. And I'm watching reports come out on various state-controlled media that the Texas law that the heartbeat can be detected as early as 6 weeks, that you cannot have an abortion in the state of Texas. And many on the left are saying, you know, women are going to have back alley abortions again or try to carry it out themselves in some way. And it's all about the woman's right, her body. And I raised the question the other day, how many women are you killing to protect that one woman or that my body, my right? And yet you ignore it when it comes to the vaccine. Oh, but Larry, you don't get the vaccine, you might carry COVID and kill somebody. I might. But if you're going to abort a baby, you will kill someone. And you just heard how some of it might be done so they could do it a little quicker and sooner in order to harvest kidneys or whatever else they want. There's another thing we have discussed before, and it is in her article, the Madeline Osborne article in The Federalist, but it bears obviously time that I want to spend with you. And she talks about Superior Court Judge of Pennsylvania, Cheryl Allen, speaking about the Planned Parenthood's history of racism, the abortion industry targeting black people under the, quote, guise of wanting to help poor black women. And Pitt, University of Pittsburgh, had a racial quota for the babies used in their experiments. The grant application stated its fetal harvesting program would choose individuals on the basis of sex, gender, race, ethnicity, setting quotas of 50% white, 50% minority, and 25% of the minority had to come from black women. Is there not an outcry against that? Back in May at a House Appropriations, Dr. Fauci was asked about the funding of some of those Pitt experiments that included grafting scalps from 18 to 20-week aborted fetuses onto rats. And if his agency is aware of where the fetuses came from, and Fauci said, well, the study went through, quote, all the appropriate guidelines and oversight. Proper guidelines and oversight. Who the hell can tell me that there's an appropriate guideline for grafting the scalp of an 18 to 20-week aborted fetus onto a rat? More than 100 U.S. congressmen and senators have sent a letter to the heads of the DOJ, NIH, HHS, demanding more details on all these federally sponsored experiments. They wanted an answer as of this last Tuesday, October the 12th. I don't think they've got it yet, and I don't think they're going to. All right, in our last segment, I'll try to lighten things up. I don't know if you're aware of it, but Halloween is also considered maybe racist. I don't know. Stand by, please.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Rocket Man, burning up.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Cancel culture is in full operation all the time, 24/7. They're not going to miss any opportunity. And you have to look at some of the things, and I'm sure you do, in fact, and say, what? I mean, for instance, the diatribe that VP Harris went on the other day about Columbus Day and Columbus and what he did, trying to set the standards of today's community against a time before this country was even discovered, doesn't make it right that anything that might be attributed and proven that he did take part in, but still, at what point do you say, that's the past, here's where we are? A Seattle elementary school has canceled its Halloween pumpkin parade. Now, when my girls were younger and they went to school and they were going to a public school, they may or may not have a Halloween party, but if they were doing it, well, then it was kind of controlled it to some extent. It wasn't pushing satanic type, scary type things of that nature. And then when they were in a Christian school, then obviously they didn't do it. They did have a Halloween party in the sense, but nothing like things that maybe Christians would consider satanic. And that's up to you and your judgment, and your children. I'm not trying to make a decision on you. But this in case, the Seattle Elementary School canceled the pumpkin parade, claiming that black males do not celebrate the holiday and feel marginalized by it. I will have to admit, I'm totally dumb on that. I had never noticed. I have seen numerous events held at hospitals, trunk parties and so forth where kids can safely trick-or-treat, and I've seen kids of every race taking part and actively enjoying it. Jason Rantz, conservative talk show host in Seattle, said the school district, when we talked to him, said, well, we don't do anything to distract students from learning, except, of course, on National Walkout Day, when they're allowed to ditch learning to form a giant peace sign in a political protest on gun violence. And see, there's a hypocrisy. Are you really concerned about the kids and their feelings, or are you pushing an agenda of some type? And in one case, the school is saying, well, there's a lot of noise and everything going on. It might be, too much for some kids. Yes, there are some kids, and I have a young relative that does not handle noisy places and so forth. It's too much stimulation for the child. But let me lighten this up a little bit. I was traumatized a lot on Valentine's in school. I was. I got all kinds of Valentines mom would let me buy. And, of course, I could only buy a pack that all pretty much looked the same. But then even if there were some distinctions, I tried to pick out the one or two that I thought would be the best to give this particular girl or another girl or three or four. And I was expecting to get – we all had our little boxes where Valentines were dropped off. And I might or might not get one from one of those girls that I poured all my love into a Valentine card for them in the third grade, and I got nothing. I felt marginalized. I just didn't know the word at that time. I felt just lost and lonely. I didn't know those words either when it came to that, but I knew I didn't feel good. And especially if a guy I knew, another third grader, that he got a Valentine from one of the girls that I wrote a Valentine to. Did you go through that? Did you go through that too? Yeah. Then there was another event we used to have. I don't think they do this now. Some of you probably did. It all began as something introduced in a comic strip back in November 1937. It was based off of Al Capp's comic strip, Lil Abner, Sadie Hawkins Day. We had a Sadie Hawkins Day when I was in junior high. And I think we even had into high school a Sadie Hawkins Day where the girls would be the ones to ask a guy out for a date and ask them to go to a dance. Roles were reversed, kind of like we're doing now, but in a totally different way. And how many of us guys, seriously, you didn't get asked by the girl that you wanted to be asked by? Well, then, well, I guess we ended up learning what the girls felt if we didn't ask them out and we chose someone else. Growing up is one of these things that has so many complexities to it. And for a child, it's sometimes extremely traumatic. I don't care what their race or gender is. But when you start pushing cancel culture and saying everything has to be looked at in this way, are you going to let them be kids to some extent? Do they have Sadie Hawkins Day still at schools of your kids or your grandkids? Probably not. Valentine's? I don't know. Halloween? Not in that Seattle school. There was a time kids were just kids. Let them grow up. Take care of them. Comfort them when they have a need. And tell them sometimes life just isn't fair. No consolation prize for you. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.